Welcome to Film Wax Radio, the independent film talk show. Every week, we're visited by filmmakers, actors, programmers, journalists, and others to sit down and chat about the state of independent film. Robert Kohler is a former film critic and festival programmer from Los Angeles and currently serves as the director of programming at the Film Society for Lincoln Center. Rajendra Roy joined the Department of Film at the Museum of Modern Art as chief curator in July 2007, leading the museum's film collection, preservation, and exhibition efforts. Both my guests today also just happen to be members of the selection committee for New Directors, New Films, the annual New York City film series co-presented by MoMA and the Film Society of Lincoln Center, dedicated to the discovery of new works by emerging filmmaking talent. The festival will screen 25 features and 17 shorts representing 24 countries, all making their New York City premieres. This season, its 42nd, runs from March 20th through the 31st and includes among its impressive slate of international titles filmmaker Alexander Moore's Blue Caprice, which will be the opening night screening, and Penny Lane's found footage documentary Our Nixon, which closes New Directors. Tickets go on sale March 10th, so visit newdirectors.org for specific details to screenings, times, dates, and for purchasing tickets. So I welcome Bob and Raj to Film Wax Radio. Okay, so let's just jump right in. This season, the festival is being open and closed by two American independent films, although one is by a French-born filmmaker. Is this typical of the festival, or what goes into the choices of opening and closing night films?
Hey, since this is Bob's first season on the committee, I'll jump in on my understanding of the history. I've been involved now for 6 years with the selection, and I mean, what we're always going for with opening or closing are films that can kind of set a tone for the festival, more so than necessarily being representative of the spectrum of the films or nations that are represented in the series in its entirety. In often cases, that they are international films that serve that purpose. But I think both these films kind of target areas of emphasis that percolated naturally through the selection. I mean, this is not a thematic show. We don't set out to tell a story necessarily. A story emerges as we make the selection. And I certainly think both the incredibly contemporary narrative, or let's say contemporary, the relationship that Blue Caprice has to a current narrative in popular and political culture helped us set a tone for the festival that we felt was right. And Penny's film, in kind of re-examining a previously known history or previously thought to be known history, also is kind of a nice cap on the reinvestigation of histories that happens or are happening in a lot of the films in the festival. So in a way, although, again, not by design necessarily, but through the work that of the committee and obviously the work of the filmmakers, we're able to tell a nice story about where we are and how we got here.
And also, Bob, this is, of course, your first New Directors Festival. What was that programming like, and how did it differ from your past experience?
Well, the most obvious difference was the programming by group, by collective, if you will, rather than an individual or a close collaboration. Say, I'm very often have practiced a programming that is either myself or with another partner programmer of a series or of a festival.
This was a committee.
And this is a committee, and that is how New Directors, New Films has always been structured. And it's I think with the range of submissions that we have here, it can be helpful to have the committee of diverse opinions and views, which I'm glad that we had. We had a range of perspectives on both individual films, and then each one of us would bring in and either champion or bring in films that each one of us felt strongly about. And what I appreciated most about the committee, I think, was that everybody was quite open to the advocacy of individual members of the committee, and it fostered a healthy conversation which is
even in the cases of rejections.
Well, it actually wasn't. It wasn't even that so much as the focus was because you got to keep in mind the ratio of acceptances to rejections is enormous. And so our energy and attention had to be on the ones that we felt most strongly in favor of.
Sure.
So the conversation leaned absolutely towards those films we most strongly advocated or the ones that we needed to debate and argue over and consider. What they say in the NCAA March Madness, the ones that are on the bubble. You know, and those are those sometimes are the most interesting ones because you have then this real give and take back and forth amongst us in terms of the pros and cons. And also then you begin to, the conversation helps begin to focus on what actually is maybe the running themes or the architecture or the meaning that the program is beginning to convey, because it's not, this kind of program isn't like telling a story. It's not by a single author. And so journalists will sometimes try to draw a single theme out of a program, but it just doesn't work that way. It comes as much from happenstance and from hazard as it does from design.
You say that coming from a journalistic background, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's true, because I've been found myself in the position of trying to extract storylines, but ever since I've been involved in programming, I understand that programming is a combination of accident and design. And so, you know, taking that into account, you realize that the ways in which these creatures we call film series and film festivals form is through a lot of mitigating circumstances, and you can surprise yourself.
It would be
with
very nice. Understood. Right, Raj. Tell me a little bit about how you do find the films, and I'm just wondering: these are first-time filmmakers in a lot of cases, or emerging filmmakers, and how do you find them?
Well, I mean, we do rely on the work of our colleagues in the field, so we scope out a lot of festivals and a lot of festival programs. Really, we started Cannes for the next year and kind of work our way forward. It is. I had Bob's experience six years ago when I joined the committee. I had worked on festival programming. I'd been the director of programming at the Hamptons and had never worked on a group think, like to put it in the worst possible way. But it works in kind of magical ways when it works, which it has, in that, you know, you see a film, you tell your fellow committee members about it, they see it. They bring a different perspective to it. You revisit it, and the kind of privilege of having that amount of time and the really intense, you know, so 25 to 28 films that you're looking for gives you the opportunity to take the long view. It's still a festival. There's still a crunch time, you know, after Sundance, let's say, where you're really trying to get all those Rotterdam films in, get all those Berlin films in, and you know, in that sense, it feels more like a typical festival because there is just this like 2 week window where you're trying to cram. But for the rest of the year, you know, it is this kind of privileged opportunity to take a long look and see where the filmmakers are leading us. I mean, and that probably is a difference between new directors and a lot of other festivals, where, you know, big festivals like Berlin and Cannes can kind of really set the agenda. I mean, they're looking at such a wide, you know, swath of new films. New directors can really give that to the filmmakers and can say, you know what, this is your agenda. You know, what we're looking for are the most kind of surprising voices out there. And the stories you tell may add to that surprise, but really our goal is to introduce New York City and you know, then the country and hopefully parts of the world to this next group of influential filmmakers and create a dialogue amongst them this year, but also hopefully with the alumni from years past. So it's of the moment. It's a present tense festival, but it's also obviously looking forward with, we're anticipating great things from these filmmakers. And we're also putting them into a category and a kind of a group of filmmakers that have really been the ones to propel the art form forward. And that's what we're expecting.
I'm wondering, nobody submits to this festival.
That's not correct, actually. We do have submissions.
I apologize. Yeah.
It's different in the sense of, you know, we're not a submission-driven festival, let's say.
Okay.
Scouting is probably, I mean, in terms of nuts and bolts of how we put it together, literally.
Yeah.
scouting is probably the number one mechanism for recruiting films.
Okay.
For the festival.
You know, maybe because the selection committee and that structure, I made some leaps about what I thought may be the case. But
well, it's also the case that we're not on Without a Box yet. At this point, anyway. Historically, we have not been on Without a Box, and that was certainly the case. So we're not on the same kind of radar, let's say. We're not on that automatic click and drop kind of situation for most filmmakers, frankly, these days, where they're looking at the range of festival options available to them and seeing that all in one kind of centralized location. They have to seek us out. And they do. And as Bob mentioned, they do in great numbers.
So how many films did you start off with then, Bob?
Well, I can't give you an exact number, but the total field exceeded 1,000, and it required a sort of concentrated, constant viewing through this period from really most concentrated in our activity from October on. So, you know, it's not that you also structure it. I mean, this is getting a little bit inside baseball, but you also structure it where you have what we might call screening committees that go through and look at the wider range, and it gets...
And then drill down.
The idea is to try to, you know, filter down. Every film festival has this because it's physically impossible for each individual committee member to see over 1,000 films, obviously.
Especially if it's an open call.
Yeah, right? Sure. Sure. But keep in mind, too, that if all of us are paying attention to what's out there, it becomes clear fairly early on, and it certainly becomes clear by January, the films to most pay attention to. So that way, it also, in a sense, pre-selects itself. The conditions on the ground help us focus in and home in on what really to pay attention to. I might note this year that Rotterdam really provided a very significant pathway through for us to explore. It really yielded an impressive crop of films.
Can you describe what that pathway kind of looks like in some terms? Because I'm kind of curious myself.
Yeah, you mean
whether it's the themes or the style of filmmaking or the type of filmmaker, whatever it is that you're describing.
Yeah. Well, I think probably certain qualities can be identified. One is a defiantly personal approach to the filmmaking, signature approach. An approach, and this applies as much to our opening and closing night films as it does to, say, such films as Matias Pinheiro's Viola or Ali Aydin's Kuf, to name two, that each one of them really has a signature approach by that filmmaker in a sense that perhaps nobody else could have made that film. You know, it would have been a fundamentally different film had somebody else made it. That's certainly a quality. I think another quality that's very interesting in this particular crop of films, in this selection, and it's something that's been a fascinating development in cinema in general over the past decade, is the in-between film, the film that is somewhere in between fiction and nonfiction, that combines elements of both and questions both what a fiction film is and what a nonfiction film is. And we really have some fascinating examples of that this year.
Well, I can follow Bob's thought on that. I mean, I think, you know, if you look at a film, Les Coquillettes, which is an unlikely candidate, Macaroni and Cheese, I think is the English title, but it's a French comedy, but it's set in the world of filmmaking. It's set at the Locarno Film Festival, with a quasi-fictionalized, let's say, young filmmaker, a young woman who's bringing her film there. So the kind of escapades of she and her girlfriends as they go to the festival. But they actually did make the film.
Yes.
The film actually exists.
They may have called that meta three or four years ago.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to ask Seth MacFarlane what meta is at this point. But
don't diss him because he's my, you know.
I don't think that was a diss. I think the Oscars was very meta and no one's talking about that. But whatever.
I was trying to lead it off there. Yeah, let's get back on track here with this
But,
film.
You know, and in terms of, you know, how you put it together, I mean, I think in, you know, layman's terms, which I always kind of gravitate towards because they're easy to understand, you know, we're kind of the auteurist breeding ground, let's say, you know. So if you're thinking about, you know, what's the future of auteurist cinema, this kind of very personal cinema, New Directors is a holdout. And it's important to maybe remember that at its outset, 42 years ago, New Directors was thought of as a companion piece in the best terms, and, or as kind of a reaction to, let's say, the inability of emerging filmmakers to really get a foothold at the New York Film Festival.
Right.
So, you know, in a way, that while that, you know, the New York Film Festival isn't the island it once was in New York, certainly. I mean, there's so many festivals happening on Manhattan and certainly in the five boroughs that New Directors couldn't be seen just as a breeding ground for the New York Film Festival. But it still has that function of kind of announcing the talent that will arrive in the showcases for auteurist cinema later on.
This is Adam Shartoff, host of FilmWax Radio, the independent film talk show, Wednesday night, 6:30 to 7:30 on bboxradio.com.
We're talking to Bob Kohler and Raj Roy about the upcoming 42nd season of the New Directors New Films, which again starts on March 20th, I believe, and goes through the 31st. Let's talk about a few more of the selections. I avoid calling them highlights or anything, lest we suggest that there is any possibility of favorites. I mean, after that, what sounds like a really intense period of choosing these films, like we were talking about True False, a selection of films that are not going to be hit or miss.
Yeah, I mean, that in a way is the great thing. They're all highlights, right? When you have such a tight selection, everybody gets their night in the sun, or I guess that doesn't really work, but night. There you go.
That is a special.
Although it's warmed up in Alaska. We actually did opening night in the garden last year, which was first for New Directors. So.
Well, New Directors sort of does bring in the spring. Or the spring brings in, I don't know which, but they go hand in hand. But there's so many to choose from. But
I mean, just following on this kind of in-between film theme, I mean, one of the earliest films that we invited was, or two of the earliest films, I guess we can talk about, Sarah Polley's film.
Oh, I just saw that one.
Stories We Tell, which absolutely falls into that category of, like, is it documentary? And, you know, look, this is a woman who's made two feature films that have both gotten, you know, recognition. But this is her first, let's call it documentary. I think people who see it have opinions about whether it's a straight doc or you know, some other form of storytelling, some new form, let's say, or emerging form. And the other was The Act of Killing, which is in the same way. I mean, it's being presented as very much a documentary. I have very strong opinions about the fictionalized elements of that film and how critical they are in propelling that narrative forward and the problematics of that, which, you know, is part of the strength of that film, is the incredibly intense conversation it has created around the world as it's being presented at other festivals. This is, again, the New York premieres or all the screenings in New Directors. And in that conversation wouldn't be happening if it weren't for the, let's call it, in-betweenness of that picture.
Are you suggesting that it's diluting something, or it's there's an element of maybe a danger around telling stories about actual atrocities?
I actually feel it's the contrary in a way. He's not diluting anything. He's heightening to the point of almost reenacting in a way that becomes documentary. I mean, the actually fictionizing, the documentation of the fictionalizing of these narratives. Uh-huh. Has the effect of documenting or redocumenting atrocities that perhaps are being committed again in the restaging of these atrocities.
Yeah.
Or maybe it isn't the exact atrocity that was in, there's no actual murders in the film, but the
but it's more
psychological impact
will
resonate for generations who were involved in, new generations who were involved in the creation of this film. I feel are very, very real.
Right, and there are children often in these scenarios.
Exactly.
So this is Joshua Oppenheimer's film.
What's interesting about The Act of Killing, too, is that it's one of several films that have been made, again, over the past decade or more, in which the actors of the original atrocities participate in the recreation or restaging of those atrocities, collaborating with the filmmaker and openly being willing to expose themselves on camera. It's an astonishing kind of development. To my knowledge, the first film that did this was Riti Pan's S-21, the Khmer Rouge killing machine, in which prison keepers of the death prison S-21 participated with Pan in explaining and showing what it was they actually did in terms of torture and in terms of the incarceration and explaining their jobs. You see the same thing here in a different tone. Here, what's actually more dangerous about Oppenheimer's film, and I mean that in a good way, is that there is a certain comic, absurdist tone to the telling that makes somehow the horrors even greater and heightens them even more so and is more unsettling. And I think that that's what's caused part of the disturbance and also the controversy around the film. To say nothing of which, to complicate it even more, one step is that there's two different versions of the film, one longer and one shorter, and both versions are going to be shown here at New Directors, and the only time outside of the world premiere at Copenhagen Documentary Festival that both versions are being shown.
Well, so news to me. That's great. Thank you. Oh, I was going to say that I personally noticed in the last few years cases in fiction or retelling using characters from actual stories where they reenact or they're involved in in the fictionalized version, but not in what's purportedly a documentary version.
Right. No, very much so. And actually, some of the characters, yeah. Some of the actors in Rachid Dadani's French film, marvelous French film, Rengaine, which I think is one of the best of the recent output of new films from young French filmmakers. And there's really been a stunning reemergence of young French cinema, that some of the supporting characters in the film are in effect playing themselves. They're playing really versions of themselves. They're not professional actors. Right. Some are. It's a mix of pros and non-pros, and many of the non-pros are, in effect, playing themselves. And you have that with a few of these films.
I wanted to mention on the other side of the spectrum, perhaps, is a personal connection to Shannon Plum, who's a new filmmaker. Her husband, she's married to a fairly well-known filmmaker at this point, but her children and mice.
Derek Cianfrance.
That's the guy. How'd you know? Yes, yeah, seen France, right? Of yeah. Blue Valentine. Yeah. But our sons are in the same class in Brooklyn. Right. Yes, of course it is. So that is my own plug. I'm really looking forward to her film.
The name of the film is Towheads.
That's yes. correct. That's right. right. So, were there any others that we could touch upon before we wind down here?
I wanted to mention an interesting a couple of interesting things that were somewhat unexpected. I found one of the most unexpected and surprising bolts of out of the blue was a Russian nonfiction film by Lyubov Arkus, who is she's a film critic, and this is her first feature film called Anton's Right Here. This film popped out of nowhere and blew me away. It really was a knockout. Mm-hmm. In the sense that you have an autobiographical document of a woman who's interested in observing life around her, lands across this situation in which she's finding herself having to take care of a severely autistic teenage boy. And she really doesn't have the resources and the know-how, the capacity for it, but she just sort of stumbles through it. Finds ways in which he can be supported by others, including his mother who's dying of cancer, a father who could care less, yet finds a tone that is so far afield from what this subject matter might suggest. I can't describe how incisive, profound the ideas that run through the film. It goes so far away from the typical schmaltzy sentimental tone that you would normally have with this kind of subject matter. And it's a film that could easily pass by the viewer, not be noticed.
Sure.
I really stress that it's a film like that in this program that I think really makes the program special. Mm. Another one worth mentioning is Emperor Visits the Hell, which is an interesting case of a Chinese-Canadian co-production, Lu Li, and it is a beautifully comic, absurd fable transferring an ancient tale out of the Ming Dynasty, I think it's the Ming Dynasty period, into a kind of present-day period in which all these great matters of the state are kind of reduced to mundane office decisions, as if the emperor of China is now a functionary bureaucrat in a cramped office somewhere in Beijing. And the way in which it tells this tale mm-hmm. of cosmic, you know, geography, hell, heaven, the earth, magic, life and death, these huge things, but then comically reduces it down to these mundane visuals that we see.
Right.
Makes it a completely original film. It really is one of the most thoroughly original films, I think, of recent years.
You want to add anything?
Well, I'll just jump in
with
one pick, and that actually reinforces the kind of historical trajectory of new directors, is a film called Jards by Eric Rocha, who is actually the son of the great Glauber Rocha, who was, to my knowledge, never part of New Directors, but certainly, you know, one of the great innovators, certainly in Brazilian cinema, but Latin American cinema in general. And Eric has exposed to us this phenomenal musical talent, Jards, but in a documentary style, a fashion that we have never seen from a music doc, in a way that will introduce this artist, who is primarily unknown in the U.S., to audiences through a visual sense that really is incredibly unique and utterly compelling. We've seen it from Eric in the past, but it really is this kind of culmination of his visual prowess that's quite remarkable. And again, the trajectory of generation to generation is certainly something that the New Directors is interested in.
Clearly. Bob and Roger, I really appreciate your coming on and talking so passionately and extensively about all these films. And what's shocking is we've only skimmed the surface. There's so many more films. And I urge anyone who's listening to visit newdirectors.org and check out the entire schedule. Tickets are available for all of those films starting March 10th, I believe. Come on out and see great cinema. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The first thing you want never comes. see.